Our text today comes out of Matthew 22:15-22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius. Then he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, sometimes Jesus' sharpest words came not in the form of a rebuke, but in a challenge that forced people to look at their own hearts. And that's exactly what happens in this moment. The Pharisees and the Herodians come together. Now, they aren't natural allies, but they are united against Jesus. And they set a trap. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? It's a political question, but it's also a religious one. If he says yes, he'll lose credibility with the crowds who despise Roman oppression. If he says no, he can be accused of rebellion. And then the brilliance of his answer, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." Jesus doesn't dodge the trap, he exposes it. He takes a coin, he points to Caesar's image and says, "Give it back to him." But then he goes further. "Give to God what is God's." The Pharisees leave amazed, but the challenge remains hanging in the air. What belongs to God? If Caesar's coin bears his image, then what bears the image of God? Genesis tells us that. We do. Humanity itself is stamped with God's image. The call of this passage is not about taxes, not about politics, not about civic duty. It's about the deeper question of identity and allegiance. As disciples, we give to God what bears His image, our very selves. And we live out that identity in the world. And we need to understand just how sharp this moment is. The Herodians were collaborators with Rome. They were loyal to Caesar's rule. The Pharisees despised Roman influence, but wanted to guard their religious authority. These two groups rarely agreed on anything. But when it came to silencing Jesus, they found common ground. The question about taxes was more than economics, it was about control. If Jesus aligned with Rome, he was no prophet. If he rebelled against Rome, he was a threat to peace. But Jesus doesn't give them a neat answer. He reframes the entire question. What he's really saying is this: you're worried about the small image stamped on a coin. I'm worried about the great image stamped on your soul. Caesar may have minted coins, but God has made people. And this is where the prophetic edge cuts through. We can argue endlessly about what you owe to the government, to institutions, to each other. But Jesus' question is harder. What are you withholding from God? If you bear His image, why would you give Him anything less than your whole self? The hinge of this passage is the doctrine of the Imago Dei, the image of God. Genesis 1:27 declares, "So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." That identity is not a surface label. It is woven into the very being of who we are. To bear God's image means we were created for relationship with Him. It means we reflect His character, however dimly, in our capacity for love, creativity, justice, and holiness. And it means we belong to Him. Just as a coin bearing Caesar's face is ultimately Caesar's property, so a life bearing God's imprint belongs ultimately to God. Now, this isn't just about ownership, it's about purpose. A coin is meant to circulate in Caesar's economy, and a person is meant to live in God's kingdom. When we try to live as if we only belong to ourselves, we distort the image. We spend our lives in the wrong economy, investing in things that cannot last. And here's the prophetic challenge. If we truly bear God's image, then half measures are not enough. God is not satisfied with scraps of our time or leftovers of our energy or spare change of our devotion. What He desires, what He rightfully claims, is all of us. It's worth pausing on the first half of Jesus' words here. He does not say forget Caesar entirely. He says give to Caesar what is Caesar's. There are civic duties, there are social obligations, and there is a place for participating in the structures of this world, paying taxes, following laws, contributing to the common good. These have their place. But Caesar's claim is limited. His image is stamped on a coin, not a soul. His reach extends to civic order, not eternal destiny. And this is where Jesus draws a line. Caesar can ask for his taxes. He cannot claim your worship. Caesar can govern your body. He cannot command your heart. And this is where this prophetic word hits home for us. Too often we let the Caesars of our world claim more than they should. Political parties, cultural pressures, economic systems, all of them want more than their share. They want allegiance, loyalty, and sometimes even identity. But if you belong to God, none of those other claims can ever be ultimate. The real weight of Jesus' teaching rests in the second half. Give to God what is God's. What does that mean? It means everything. Your heart belongs to God because His Spirit gave it life. Your mind belongs to God because He shaped your thoughts. Your body belongs to God because He knit it together. Your gifts belong to God because He entrusted them to you. Your future belongs to God because He is the Alpha and the Omega. We cannot parcel our lives out as if God gets Sunday morning and Caesar gets Monday through Saturday. We can't split ourselves in two. If you bear God's image, then everything about you is marked as His. Romans 12:1 says, "Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Loved ones, worship is not just a service. It's not just a song. It's not just a tithe. Worship is offering your whole life back to the One whose image you bear. So what does it mean practically to give God what belongs to him. It means living as an image bearer in every corner of the world. When you choose integrity at work, you are giving to God what is his. When you forgive someone who hurt you, you are giving to God what is his. When you care for the poor, the lonely, the overlooked, you are honoring the image of God in them and in yourself. When you resist idols of money, power, and status, you are declaring that your identity is not for sale. The danger for us is not that we'll openly reject God, but that we'll quietly compartmentalize him. We'll keep a coin for Caesar and a coin for God, a piece for work and a piece for church, a Sunday face and a weekday face. But Jesus' words press us to see that everything, every breath, every decision, every relationship belongs to God. Let's be honest. This word is uncomfortable. It's much easier to keep faith as one slice of life among many. But the gospel doesn't allow that. To give to God what is God's is to surrender control, to stop pretending that we can mint our own lives for our own purposes. And here's the cutting edge of this for today. What are we giving to Caesar that really belongs to God? Some of us give our trust to political ideologies more than to the kingdom of God. Some of us give our identities to our careers, our possessions, or our reputations. Some of us give our hearts to bitterness, fear, or pride. But none of those things bear God's image. You do. The prophetic call is not simply to resist Caesar, but to remember who you are. You are not stamped with the image of a nation, a brand, or a bank account. You are stamped with the living God. And to give him what belongs to him is to give him you. Now, this could sound like a crushing weight. Give God everything. Hold back nothing. But here's where grace shines through. God does not demand what he has not already redeemed. In Christ, he has claimed us again, not just as his creation, but as his beloved children. The cross is the ultimate coin of exchange. There, God stamped his love on the world, declaring that nothing, not sin, not Caesar, not death, can erase his image in us. When we offer ourselves to him, we are not earning his love. We are responding to it. We are returning to the one whose image we bear and whose grace makes us whole. So what belongs to God? Everything that bears his image, which means you, which means me, which means every person you meet tomorrow and the next day. The Pharisees went away amazed, but we cannot walk away unchanged. Jesus' words demand a response. Will you keep your life in Caesar's economy, trading coins that will not last? Or will you return yourself fully to the God whose image you bear? As disciples, the choice is clear. We give to God what belongs to him, not just our spare moments, not just our Sunday mornings, not just our pocket change, but our very selves. And when we do, The world sees his image shining again in us. So the question lingers for each of us. What are you holding back from God? And what would it look like starting today to give it to him? Bow your heads with me, please. Gracious God, we thank you for claiming us as your own. Send us now to live as your image bearers in the world. Let our words speak truth. Let our hands serve with compassion. Let our hearts beat with love for you and neighbor. For everything we are belongs to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.